So good to be here today. How many of you are excited for this word today? I'm telling you. See, I asked you that before I even told you what I'm going to preach about, because when you find out what I'm going to preach about, you're not going to be as excited. So that's why I said it. So I kind of tricked you guys there. But we're starting a brand new series. We finished our last series on the health series. That was a phenomenal one. But in prayer, I started really meditating on a few things in the Bible. And we're going to start this brand new series entitled Excellence. Can we all just say that with me? Excellence.
Excellence.
All right, we're going to start this brand new series for this month in November. Just that word, excellence. How many of you want a life of excellence? Show me your hands. You're saying, Pastor, I want a life of excellence. How many of you want an excellent marriage? All right. Excellent kids? All right. You can't change your kids, but you can change how you're raising them, and you might have excellent ones. Excellent job. Show me your hands. Excellent job. Awesome. All right. How many of you want an excellent church? Trick question. You ready to go to one? You ready to go to one? So, all right. How many of you want an excellent pastor? Another trick question. You already have one? That's awesome. Okay. But all of us here, we want a life of excellence. We all want a life of excellence. You ask anyone, you want an excellent life? No one is going to say, yeah, I just want a mediocre one. I just want to get by. But sadly, that's how so many people are living. So for the next month, right now in November, through this series, if you apply what you learn here at church to your life, I promise you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will see excellence in your life. But I want to tell you off the bat, a life of excellence starts with you. That's the drawback. It starts with you. Look at your neighbor and say, it starts with you. All right? So if your life's not excellent, look at your neighbor and say, because it starts with you. Go ahead. All right. Let's pray. Father, bless this series, this word in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, use me now. Father, I just pray that we leave here today with a new sense of glory and a new profound meaning of what excellence is. In Jesus' name, amen. Just one verse I'm going to read to you in Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 6, beginning at verse 3. Daniel chapter 6, beginning at verse 3. And the Bible says, then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because, notice the because, an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. That's it. The Bible says Daniel had an excellent spirit. And because of that spirit of excellence, the king planned to promote him over everyone in the kingdom. And here's the thing about this. In that kingdom, there were other people more qualified than Daniel. There were other people that were greater in gifts and talents and ability and knowledge. But the king planned to give Daniel this intense promotion over everyone, over the entire kingdom, because of his excellence. Notice the connection. When the king saw the excellence in Daniel, the king who had the power of promotion wanted to give it to him. And if we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we want God to promote us and bless us and a life of excellence, excellence starts with you. The king saw Daniel, and he was so distinguished above everyone that the king said, I need to promote Daniel. He was distinguished. He was known for excellence. Let me ask you this question. What are you known for? Don't tell yourself you're awesome if no one else is. Don't tell yourself. I mean, have you ever talked about yourself? I'm just, you know, I'm known for being loving and kind and compassionate and giving. Really? Ask your neighbor to describe you right now if they know you. Don't do that. I might start a riot right now. Don't do that. But honestly, when we talk about ourselves, I want to ask you this honest to God question. What are you known for? What distinguishes you above everyone? Because we're all known for something. What that something is up to you. You might be distinguished because you're known for being selfish, self-centered, negative, angry. Or you might be distinguished because you're known for being humble and kind and giving and loving. But all of us here are distinguished. Right now, all of you are distinguished and known for something. We all have a reputation. We're all known for something. And that something will start with you. See, we all have a desire for an excellent life. This is what really confuses me, because everyone wants an excellent life. All of us say, well, I want an excellent marriage. I want an excellent spouse. I want excellent children and family. I want to have a job that's excellent. I want to make excellent money. I want a life of excellence. I want an excellent future. Who doesn't? We all have a desire for it. But sadly, when you really think about it and you look around right now, we all may desire a life of excellence, but doesn't mean that you have it. In fact, all people want a life of excellence, but many people are living a life of misery. Many people are living a life that they have no enthusiasm. Many people have settled for a life of just being mediocre, just barely get by mentality. And they're choosing to have a life with no joy and excitement. And it may not sound like you have an excellent life right now, but I want to tell you, the reason your life is not excellent is because you are not excellent. I told you this series is going to be hard. I didn't get an amen for that. And that's why you're not excellent. Excellent people would have said amen. No, don't change your mind now. Preaching to all of you. Excellent is not about talent, it's not about gifts, it's not about personality. Listen, excellence is not even about who you are, where you come from. You know, many people excuse a lack of excellence because of their childhood. You know, I was mistreated, I was abused, I didn't have a father, I didn't have a mother, I didn't have a good example growing up, so therefore, I am not an excellent person because of how I grew up. I'm not an excellent person because of the way my life is right now. Life is unfair. I never was given the opportunity. I never had the doors open for me. Everything's so much harder for me. And you put all these excuses why you yourself cannot be an excellent person. Let me tell you something about excellence. Excellence is not something you're born with. You might think, a baby comes out, the doctor doesn't say, oh, here's an excellent one. Here, nope, not this one. Doesn't your parents might tell you, oh, you're so excellent. Let me tell you, so you're not born with excellence. Excellence is something that you develop and you practice. And it takes time and discipline and work. So don't pray, Lord, give me excellence. Because the Lord says, no, excellence is something I help you develop, work in, and you need to put into practice. And the more I put excellence into practice, the easier it becomes in my life. And when excellence becomes a pattern in my life, that's when God can promote me and bless me and do more in my life. If you want a life of excellence, it starts with you. And still no amen. All right, I got it. Tough crowd. I'll get you. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. If I don't get an amen here, I'm quitting. That's it. I'm done with this. Therefore, talking to Christians here, the writer of Hebrews, therefore, since we have surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight. Not talking about your physical weight, though. Some of you need to lay that aside. But let us also lay aside every weight. That means burden, things that are making you heavy. Let us let aside everything that's burdening you and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance this race that is set before us. Amen. All right. Didn't sound sincere, but whatever. Looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The cross was painful. The cross was not pleasant. But the Bible says Jesus still had joy. Okay, no amen. All right. Despising the shame, he's seated at the right hand of the Father in the throne of God. Verse 3. Consider him. Think about Jesus, who endured for sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary and faint-hearted. Let me explain to you what the Bible says here. It refers to life as a race. Not because it's competitive. Not because you're supposed to be on top. Not because you're supposed to win and achieve. No, that's, you know, God is not about that. God refers to life as a race simply because it was exhausting and downright frightening in that biblical culture. When you raced in the Roman Empire, when they put people to race, if you did not win, they executed you. So you would train and work hard. And when you raced, it was tiring and you were exhausted. So God is saying, listen, when it comes to life, I know that it's going to be exhausting sometimes. Some of you are in this church right now. You're listening online and you can relate that your life is exhausting. And you're just tired every day. And maybe like that race, it's frightening for you. You don't know how you're going to finish. How you're going to complete it. So God says, I know life is exhausting. I know life can be frightening sometimes. But life is something you can endure. You can make it. You can overcome. And not only that, the Bible says, I want you to run this race and endure this race with joy. So I can't imagine, but Jesus, look, you're running this race and it's exhausting and it's frightening and you're tired. I get it. You know, Jesus felt like that. So I referred to Jesus on the cross. It was brutal. He was pierced, he was whipped, he was rejected, he was alone. And Jesus said, I did that and I still had joy. So if you haven't been on a cross lately, you have no reason to live a life of joy. God says clearly, if you're not like Jesus, if Jesus could have joy on the cross, I think you can have joy in this life. So last time I checked, none of you have been crucified. But you're still acting like you are. I hate this job. Why am I married to her? If Jesus was on the cross and endured it for joy, because he knew what it was going to bring about, that's how we live this race. We live with joy, even though it's frightening, even though it's tiring, even though you're exhausted, because we know that God is up to something good. God is saying, you can endure. I want to tell someone clearly, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. Endure it. And then he says, so don't become faint-hearted. Other versions say, do not lose heart. And I love that phrase because that word heart in the Greek is the word psucha, which we really get the word psychology from, the study of the mind. You know what God says here? Life may be exhausting, it may be frightening, you may be tired, but you don't have to lose your mind over it. So many people are losing their mind because of life. You're losing your mind right now because of what you're going through or who's hurting you, who's saying what about you, what you've lost, what you're going through. You're enduring so much pain. You're losing sleep. You're going crazy. You're living in fear, anxiety, depression, discouragement. You're losing your mind. If it feels like you've lost your mind, it's because you've lost your faith. That's it. You've lost your faith in God. But God says life may be like this race that you're trying to make it. You're trying to get by. You're exhausted. I get it. But you don't have to lose your mind. If you're in this race, you're saying, Pastor, I'm exhausted. I'm losing my mind. I'm tired. My life is not so excellent. I wish it was, but it's not. It starts with you. A life of excellence is possible. Get that in your mind right now. A life of excellence is possible in spite of who you are, what you've gone through, what setbacks you may be suffering, who your parents were, what childhood you had, what happened in your life. Excellence is possible. You know that Daniel, he was least likely to be successful. He was least likely to make something of himself. Just consider this, that Daniel was a slave, sold into slavery. And slaves were looked down upon and beaten and disregarded. So for Daniel just to be a slave, man, you're never going to amount to anything. Just settle for this life. Don't believe, don't dream, don't ask God. Just settle because you are a slave. He was in an ungodly environment. He wasn't in Jerusalem where it was all about God the Father. No, he was in Babylon where it was all about paganism and idolatry and evil worship and sin. So Daniel could have said, what good is it for me to live a life of excellence if everything around me is ungodly? I can't be an excellent Christian because everyone at work is not a Christian. I can't be an excellent follower of Christ because my whole family's not saved. You cannot blame your environment for your lack of excellence because Daniel was not only a slave, but he was in a very ungodly environment. His family was literally divided. He didn't have a father. He didn't have a mother. He didn't have his brothers with him. His family literally split. And even then, Daniel chose to live a life of excellence. It doesn't matter what your family tree looks like. God can make something out of you. So stop blaming your past and your childhood and your lack of parenting, whatever it is. Daniel is a prime example to us by God that it doesn't matter what situation you're in, who has hurt you, what setbacks you have, what environment you live in, where you're from, what your family was or was not. When God has a plan for your life, excellence is possible. So I'm telling you, a life of excellence, it's possible. He was a man that distinguished himself by excellence. You know what Daniel said? I don't care who does what to me. I don't care what I don't have. I don't care the environment I'm in right now. I'm choosing to do things in excellence. I'm going to give the best to the best for the best, who was God. From the best, who was God. I'm going to give it my all. No excuses. No blaming. No pity. He chose to live a life of excellence. If I'm going to be a slave, I'm going to be this best slave that Babylon's ever had. If I'm going to be a prisoner, I'm going to be the best prisoner that's ever been in this cell. Whatever God does in my life, wherever He places me, whatever He allows, I'm going to do it with all my heart. I'm going to be the best of where I'm at on the way to where I'm going. Could you say that about yourself? I know it's difficult because you've had setbacks. It's difficult because people have hurt you, have maligned you. But He is a prime example to us that excellence is not conditional. If your life is not excellence, because excellence has been conditional for you, I'll only give my best when my life is better. And God can't bless that. We all want promotion. Promotion means more. It means better. We all want promotions. We all want change in our lives. We all want to get out of certain seasons. We all want God to do better things for us. We all want this change to occur in our lives. We might want promotion in our job. You might want a promotion in your marriage. Doesn't mean a new spouse. So get that out of your head. You're like, ugh. But do you believe your marriage can get better? Your marriage can get promoted. God can promote your family. God can promote your health. God is all about promotion. God is all about getting you out of certain seasons and making things better for your life. And God wants it for you. But do you want it for yourself? Promotion does not come from talent. It doesn't come by gifts and who you know and connections that you have. The Bible says in Psalm 75, verse 6 and 7, that promotion comes neither from the east or west, but by God, the judge. A judge is someone that has the power to give and set you free. You know, God says here in His verse in Psalms, promotion comes from God. And it's given to those who have and possess a spirit of excellence. You're trying to get promoted on your own. You're trying to change things in your life on your own. You're trying to make things happen. You're trying to better yourself. Why don't you let God better you? Since promotion comes from Him. And start declaring and say, Lord, promotion comes from You. And I know it's obtained from those who have a spirit of excellence. So Lord, discipline me in my excellence and help me to give the best of myself in any and all situations. Don't just pray, promote me, give me, change it, make it better, Lord. Guilty, anyone? Y'all liars, look at you. Daniel teaches us that excellence is not conditional. That's what makes it so difficult. Even when conditions were difficult for Daniel and unfair, excellence was something he practiced. Can I be honest with you? There will always be the temptation to give less of your best because of where you're at. You'll always have the temptation to give less of your best because you may not like the condition or the circumstances you're in. I don't like where I'm at, so I don't have to give it my all. I'll give it my best when I'm happier. I'll give it my best when things change. I'll give it my best once I get what I want. Then I'll give it my best. But God says, whoever is faithful in the small will get more. And God cannot promote you because He's testing you to see how you handle the circumstances you may not like right now. How's that test going for you? Are you giving your best at work? Well, if you're calling someone to punch you in because you're not there yet, you're not giving your best. If you're having to just, you're at work and you're just getting by, you're doing the bare minimum, doing what's just expected of you, but why not say, I'm going to do more than what's expected? I know you don't like this. Maybe that's why God can't promote you. Are you giving your best into your marriage? You're asking God to change him, change her. You're asking God, I want a better marriage. I want to have more joy. I want to have more excitement. I want to have that same connection we once had. But ask yourself, not ask them, are you giving your best to me? No, you're not. Ask yourself, because it takes maturity to examine yourself. Am I giving my best to my spouse? If not, it could be that's why you're not having a life or a marriage of excellence. Are you giving them the best of your time and your communication? Or if you're married, if you've trained yourself like a bobblehead, you're just there, you know, saying, yes, honey. That's not giving your best. Are you giving your best as a student? Are you giving your best as a friend? And even as a Christian, are you giving God the best of and making the best of your time with the Lord? If you can say no to any of that, that is an area you will not experience excellence in. If you want to see excellence in your life, it starts with you giving the best of who you are to something or someone else, in spite of the circumstance you may not like or agree with. And it's hard because the devil tells you this lie. It's kind of a truth with the lie. The truth is, the devil tells you they don't deserve it. And that's true. But how many of you are grateful that God gave us the best in His Son Jesus Christ that we didn't deserve? Well, they don't deserve it. They've been mistreating me. You don't know. You're saying to give them the best at work. Do you know my boss? Do you know who I work with? Do you know who I'm married to? Have you said, I'm going to give you my kids for a day, Pastor. Let's see if you give them the best of who you are. I get that. Don't give me your kids. It won't be pretty. So why do we give our best to whatever and whoever? Because it's not about them. Look at what Colossians 3, 23 and 24 say. The Bible says, and whatever you do, whatever, not whatever. Whatever. Work, family, marriage, friendships, hobbies, whatever. You do. Do you do a lot? You do a lot. Some of you are like, eh. But some of you, from the minute you wake up to the second you go to bed, you're just a doer, doing. And it says, whatever you do, work heartily, the entire, with all you have. Why? As for the what? The Lord, and not for who? Men. Listen, it's not about them. God says, give them your best at work, but it's not about your employees. It's not about your co-workers. It's not about your boss. It's not about the manager. It's not about the customers. It's about me. So focus on me and do it for me. That's why God can bless you. Because you go into this attitude of saying everything I do, whether in my marriage, in my family, at work, at church, in my hobbies, at school, whatever I do, I'm doing it for God. And God expects you to do it for Him with all your heart. The problem is you've made it about men. You've made it about them. They don't deserve it. They mistreat me. They don't appreciate me. So why am I going to give them the best? Well, God says, because it's not about you. And it's not about them. It's about me. Notice what God says here. Knowing that from the Lord you will what? Receive an inheritance as your reward. Your reward is tied to how you do work. Are you not in trouble right now? Your reward is how you do. Not what you do, how you do it. You do it for God. You get the reward as an inheritance. You are serving the Lord Christ. So you do work for Jesus. This is a hard one. Drive for Jesus. I'm working on that. Treat your spouse for Jesus. Your kids. Whatever you do. You do it for God. You don't give your best to the best. You don't just say, I'm going to give them my best because they've demonstrated to me they deserve it. You do it with all your heart because you're doing it for God. So starting today, right after service, and tomorrow when you get up for work, and whatever you do, whatever work you have, you're going to say, Lord, this day is your day, and whatever I do, I'm doing it for you. And you give it wholeheartedly, and don't be surprised when God begins to reward you and bless you and promote you, because the Lord can only promote those with excellence. Daniel had a spirit of excellence. And here's where it gets hard. I know this sermon's hard. It's a bitter medicine today. That word spirit, in the Hebrew, it's something that you're not going to like. You guys want to know what it is? Not going to like it. That word literally means attitude. It wasn't like Daniel floated and he was glowing. It's his attitude. Hey, how's your attitude been lately? Ask your neighbor, how's my attitude been lately? Tell him the truth. Come on, tell him. You stink. Horrible. What's wrong with you? Are you listening to the pastor? Don't do that. Be nice. Because you know, it's crazy how the people with the worst attitudes are those that are doing the attitude checks on everyone else. You ever notice that? That person has a bad attitude. You're the worst one! The worst one, and there you are. I'm a nice person. Really? Remember what I said. If you have to tell it to yourself, you're probably lying to yourself. How's your attitude been lately? And then you sit there, I don't know why my life doesn't change. I don't know why God doesn't bless me. Why am I still single? How's your attitude? How's your attitude been? Why do people not like to hang out with me? How's your attitude? Why don't I get the promotion? How's your attitude? Come on, say it with me. How's your attitude? Shake your neighbor. How's your attitude? Because Daniel had, the Bible says, an excellent attitude. That's what distinguished him. Because it's so much easier for you to walk around with this, right? And talk like a Christian and sound like one and look like one. Whatever, I get that. But how's your attitude? Oh, it gets worse. It gets worse. Because if you're wondering why your life doesn't change or why you're stuck. because God examines the heart. That's the problem. God says, I look at the heart, and your heart is bad. You're bitter, you're negative, critical, selfish, self-centered, all about you, easily offended. Am I nailing you right now? Am I talking about you? You're stuck. You're stuck. Oh, we're stuck. Why? Because God says, it's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. Philippians 2, verse 5 through 9. It's a hard verse to listen to. I wish we could edit, but we can't. It's in the Bible. Have this mind among yourselves. That word mind, it's attitude. Which is in, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. So here's the thing about Jesus. His attitude was on point. He knew he was God. Just like some of you know you're awesome. But Jesus didn't say, do you know who I am? Jesus didn't walk around entitled. He knew he was God. But when he was with people, he treated them kindly. When he was offended, he said, I'm God. I can, boom, kill you and raise you again. He had humility. Oh, humility is coming. That's another sermon's coming. This series. He never took equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, a giver, being born in the likeness of men. Verse 8, and being found in a human form, he what? He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on that cross. Therefore, God has what? Highly exalted him. You know, Jesus got promoted from servant to being on the throne with God. Why? Attitude. Philippians says your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Daniel had a spirit of excellence. His attitude was excellent. That's what distinguished him. Can you imagine the day you're known for your excellent attitude? Imagine that. It amazes me. You know what amazes me so much about people? It amazes me how many of us pray for promotion. How many of us pray for change and better and more? And we pray for our life to increase. Yeah, you want to do it all by having the same bad attitude. Life will be blessed by your attitude, or it will be destroyed by it. Which one is it? Because an excellent life starts with you and an excellent attitude. So listen, here's a newsflash. You don't need a change in your life. You need a change in your heart. You need a change in your attitude. And maybe then God can change your life. So stop telling God, change my life. Promote me, God, change me, bless me, please, Lord, get me out. And God says, listen, I can change your life once you change your attitude. But see, if I promote you and give you what you want and you keep the same attitude, your attitude is going to destroy it. So you can't handle what I want to give you because your attitude is going to destroy it. And God in his love is going to protect you, and he's not just going to give it to you because you asked. Stop crying about it. And stop telling God to change your life, and maybe you need to change your attitude. Am I preaching to someone today? Amen. You know what? Let me tell you something. Whoever doesn't like this message is the one that needs it the most. Amen. Bad attitudes. Ugh. I don't like this sermon today. It's on me. Buy the CD. I'll give it to you. Get the CD. This sermon's for you. Because you know how many people come forward at any church with bad attitudes. And it's not about you. I don't care if you like this message or not. I'm just being obedient to God. Because I want to be promoted. So can we just admit right now as we start this series on excellence that you're guilty of just wanting a change in promotion in your life, but your attitude hasn't changed? Because it's so amazing how we say, Lord, change my life, without saying, Lord, change my attitude first. Before the Lord can change your life, He needs to change your heart. You got to tweet that one. It's good. Because how many of you know people that say, I want to change in my life? I dare you, do this, I dare you. Next person that complains about their life, tell them, well, I know why. Look at your attitude. And if they get mad, go, Pastor David told me to tell you. And have them email me. I won't read it, but they can vent. Stop asking God. Give me more. Did you notice? Listen, where in the Bible, tell me, did Daniel ever pray, Lord, make me ruler? Lord, promote me from being a slave to being in control. Lord, I just want to rule the world. He never asked for it. Never. You know what Daniel said? Wherever I'm at, whether in with my people, without my people, whether in godly environment or ungodly environment, no matter who mistreats me or who treats me right, I'm going to be a person with an excellent attitude. Daniel didn't like the fact that he was enslaved. He was very uncomfortable in his environment. He was mocked. He was criticized. People gave him a hard time. But no matter what happened, Daniel determined to himself, he said, I'm going to have an excellent attitude. And before you knew it, Daniel was promoted by God. He put into a king's heart, this is the man you need to rule your kingdom. Daniel never prayed for it, never asked for it, never begged for it. He simply made the best in a situation he did not like. He gave the best of who he was to anything and anyone because he knew ultimately he was doing it for God. When you begin to have that discipline in your life, God not only takes notice of it, God can promote that. You guys want an attitude test? Of course you don't. You have a bad attitude. Why would you? Let me ask you this question, though. I know that you're desiring an excellent life for yourself. Have you ever had a desire to be excellent yourself? Not just your life, but yourself? Or has it been about you asking God, give me an excellent job, an excellent spouse, an excellent this, an excellent that, an excellent kids, give me excellence, 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 but you've never asked God to truly make you excellent as a person? So I'm forcing you to take this test with me today. You guys want this? Too bad, you're getting it. Getting it. Brace yourself and then we'll finish. Luke chapter 6, verse 45, attitude test. I hope we pass. The good person, that's not you, calm down. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. The evil person, turn to your neighbor and say, that's you. Go ahead. The evil person, notice, the evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil, for out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Remember that excellence is a heart issue. The spirit of excellence is an attitude. Attitude is in your heart. You want to know if you have a bad attitude? It's simple. How do you talk about what you have an attitude towards? Example, you want to know if you have a bad attitude in your marriage? How do you talk about your spouse? Or how do you talk to your spouse? Who failed this test already? When you talk to your girlfriends about him, he's so stupid. Can't stand him. You don't believe what he did to me. And then when you're in person, you're so selfish. You're this. You're always that. And then you're in church. Bad attitude. That's how you know. Want to know if you had a bad attitude in your job? How do you talk about it? What goes on in the break room when the boss isn't around? Or those little text messages behind the cubicles. Ugh, can't stand this guy. When you come home from work, how was your day? Ugh, can't stand this job. I'm so unappreciative. It's always the same thing. I can't. And I had this customer today. Ah, wow. Really? How's your attitude towards church? Can I ask that? How do you talk about me? Can't believe you didn't say hi to me today. Can't believe that she didn't sing my song. Y'all have a song. This ain't a radio station. You don't call in your request. It's spirit-led. The Lord gives it to Frankie, okay? Yes, I like to make a request. I like to that Judah song, that lion song. Don't call in request. Let the Lord lead Frankie. Give it up for Frankie. Seriously, how do you talk? How do you talk about your life? How do you talk about your church, your job, your spouse? How do you talk about yourself? Are you critical? Are you negative? Are you only seeing the faults in others? What's your conversations consist of? More complaints than praise? Are you hateful? Ungrateful? It's no wonder you're stuck. Because God cannot promote a bad attitude. You want to know if you have a bad attitude? Examine yourself. How do I talk about certain areas in my life? And wherever I'm speaking negativity towards and anger towards and criticism towards, it's an area that God has said, I can't bless. Because your attitude in that area is not right. If you want God to bless your life, your job, your church, anything, say, Lord, change my heart. It's not about a change in environment, job, spouse, anything. It's about you. What needs to change in your life? I hate to tell you this. You. No, amen. I got you. I will. This series, I will get you. It's only the first Sunday. But I'll close with this. Have you guys been blessed by today? It's hard to preach this. Because I don't want you to leave this church. Remember, however you talk about it. So I want to see on Facebook, awesome church! Best sermon ever, best pastor. I love my church. I want you to change the way you talk about your life and watch how God changes it. Don't go to work tomorrow talking about how bad it is. I have to wake up early to go to this miserable job. Oof! Sorry, God. I want it to change. I want to start talking about it. Hey, boss. How are you? Good morning. Is there anything else I can do for you? Change your attitude by seeing that God has you there for a purpose. Daniel did not like being a slave. He didn't like Babylon. He didn't like the people mistreating him. But he never took that condition as an excuse for a bad attitude. So when he displayed the right attitude, God put in the king's hearts the most impossible thing ever, promote him. And Daniel became ruler, the Bible says, above other princes, people more qualified than him. So if anyone ever asks in the future, why him, why her, I'm more qualified, you can tell them, yeah, but look at that attitude. Then you'll thank me and say, amen, pastor. Not now, you won't amen, I get it. You ever heard the expression, one bad apple spoils the bunch? You want to pretend you don't, but you know you've heard it. It's so true. One bad apple, one bad apple. When an apple becomes rotten, it lets out this chemical that affects all the other apples. And all the other apples become rotten because of one bad apple. I wonder how many bad apples I have at church today. Because everything in your life, it's telling them, I have a rotten job, rotten marriage, rotten kids, rotten this, rotten that. Everything in my life is so rotten. But could it be that everything in your life is rotten because it started with you? You have a rotten job because you're a rotten person. You have a rotten marriage because you're a rotten spouse. You have a rotten kids because you might be a rotten parent. Oh, my life is so rotten. I hate it. Lord, change this. It's all so rotten. And God says everything around you is rotten because you are. Don't allow yourself to become a bad apple. How many bad apples do I got? Come on. Come on, bad apples. Represent bad apples. All my bad apples, stand up. I dare you. Stand up, bad apple. Give it up for the bad apples at Ford. Bad apples. Now, bad apples, look at all the other lying apples. Look at them. Look at them. Look at them. You're going to tell me you don't have a bad attitude. I know you. Get up. All of you, get up. All of you, get up. The nerve of some of these people, and I'm not rotten. Y'all should be up. Because in every area of our lives, there's one area, I believe, that we're rotten in. One. Give me one. One. All right. Thank you. Let's pray to start this series off. You guys ready for the month of November? I pray that the Lord has truly bless you with this message. Because this is for all of us. All of us. Grab the hand of that person next to you. We're going to pray as a church today. Apple fellowship. I like it. Rotten apple fellowship. I don't know. Let's pray together as a church. I want you to first examine yourself. Just confess to God. You know, the word confess means agree. So agree with God in certain areas in your life are rotten. You tell him right now, Lord, I know I could be better. I know my attitude can be better. And you fill in the blank. Just ask the Lord to forgive you. Because you have knowledge of this now. Your attitude will determine what God can do in your life. Father, I thank you for this church. Thank you for this word. As we start this series, Lord, in the month of November, Father, I pray that anyone here today is somewhat rotten in some area in their life, in the way that they speak about it. Father, I pray you forgive us for the ungrateful attitude we display. We are undeserving. We don't deserve anything. Everything in our lives is by your grace and your love. Forgive us when we are spoiled rotten and forget the goodness of who you are. And I pray today as we leave this church as we go to our families, as we do work, that we will do it wholeheartedly after doing it for you. And forgive us, and let the right attitude and a spirit of excellence be displayed at the people here at Forward, Lord. Wherever they go, let them be distinguished by their attitude and promote them at the level of their attitude, Father. Do not promote them if their attitudes are not ready for it. But Father, thank you for this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. I hope you guys were blessed by that.